Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're joined by Paul McNamara from Cutler McNamara Communications, and we're talking about the Survival Depot, which is a company. It's an online company where people can purchase survival gear. Are we back into that, Paul, the survival gear mentality?
Well, Phil, if you're an American today, it's getting a little tougher and tougher to remain strong in the face of things that would indicate that the American people have pretty much failed in their mission to stop terrorism. And
why do you say we have failed in our mission to stop terrorism?
Well, it looks more and more like we're going to vote for John Kerry, and that, I think, is whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, is a bad sign. But the good news is, the American people can prepare for the inevitable terror attack that's going to take place. That's why we have the Survival Depot. It's a great resource for people who want to protect their families. We've got an inventory that's second to none. We have noxious gas protection, lightweight Kevlar, things like that. So the inevitability, as I say, especially of a radiological bomb, we've got everything from Geiger equipment to detect radiation to lead-lined coverall and the coveralls. And the great news is all of this equipment is right now marked down about 50%. The bad news, though, is the longer you wait, the more we go through the summer months on into the fall toward the election. The price is going to go up.
Well, this inevitability you're talking about of a terror attack is based on Kerry getting elected?
I've analyzed that. You have to understand that as a businessman, I've traveled all over the world. And it's not just Kerry. It's the Spanish attack, the Madrid attack. I'm a salesman by trade, and I have sold products on all continents. And I can tell with assurance the terror strike in Madrid has been so successful that the stock market is going to, you know, it's obviously going through the floor. The gas prices are going through the roof, and George Bush's popularity is beginning to fall. All it needs is one little push, and Kerry is going to be president. I can assure you that little push is going to be another terror strike in the United States, probably this summer, is what we're analyzing. So in a way, you got to admire Al-Qaeda. I mean, the way they like to sweat the American people.
Let's go back here a little bit. Probably this summer, a terror strike. So you're saying based upon Madrid, based upon the success of Madrid?
Based upon the success of Madrid and then John Kerry's popularity, I think Al-Qaeda wants him to be president. But Al-Qaeda also knows how to sweat the American people, as I was saying. They sit back there in their caves and they watch us run around like ants, worrying and sweating. And, of course, I know you have listeners in Canada, but I would say this offer is really only good for the United States since the people of Canada don't have to worry. America, as usual, is going to take the hit so they can sit back on their hockey sticks up there. And
well, this survival gear that you're selling, you're selling it at a discount.
That is correct.
And for instance, we're talking about the noxious fume, which is more—is a gas mask, right?
That is a gas mask. We've got scout headlamps. We've got Thermatux vests. We also have the protection prayer for soldiers as kind of a bandana. We've got a lot of different things, sunglasses as well as the refrigeration units.
And you're saying this is at a discount now?
It's at a discount. I want people to take advantage of it. You got to get ready because I believe the terror strike in the United States will come this summer at least. Perhaps the day of the elections or the 4th of July. See, that's what kind of admiration, if you will, about Al-Qaeda. They turn the screws and watch the Americans wet themselves. I sent a telegram to the Syrian ambassador.
Okay, that's I want to get into this. Mr. Hafed Rashid is the Syrian ambassador of the United States, received a telegram from you, and you expressed your admiration?
No, I did not express my admiration. I said,
well, you wanted a message sent to Al-Qaeda?
I know Mr. Rashid through business, and I asked that he send a note to Al-Qaeda or their agents that while I am an American and I hate everything they stand for, there's a grudging admiration I have for their method.
Well, what kind of grudging admiration can you have for guys that murdered America? What, does it make your business better?
Well, this is what Al-Qaeda is, an enemy of my country, a country that I love, and yet what they do, scaring Americans, does put money into my pocket, so you have to understand the unique position I'm in and others like me. It's not unusual.
Well, the others like you are the other members of the survival business.
Well, there's a lot of us involved in it. We all rely to some degree on the ability of any organization to create an atmosphere that's conducive to sales. If you want to call it an atmosphere of fear, that's fine.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Paul McNamara is on with us from the Survival Depot. Looks like survival stuff is back in, as he and others in the survival business are predicting a terror attack here in the United States without question by the summer. But you say it could come any time.
Well, it could come any time, Phil. It could come on the election day. It could come on the 4th of July. It could come on Memorial Day. The beautiful thing, I guess you could say, about Al-Qaeda is they know how to turn the screws on Americans. They know how to sweat us down. And they also are big fans of holidays. And so I could well imagine what a terror strike in the United States on election day would be like. And without question, it would mean the election of John Kerry. So all of these things combined means that you need to be prepared. I would say.
All right, I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm going to have to warn you here, Mr. McNamara, because you're coming off sounding as a little mercenary. You're sounding as if, well, isn't terrorism great?
By no means do I believe that terrorism's great, Phil.
Well, you're coming off sounding like this is a great thing for my business. And
can I interrupt you here and say that
you're coming off and saying I got a grudging admiration for Al-Qaeda because guess what, a terrorist strike in the United States is going to be big for the survival gear business.
Well, can I ask you a question? Not you, but the men who are the people who are listening to you. Do you remember how stupid you felt after 9/11 when you were useless to your family, when your wives and your daughters were looking at you saying, "Daddy, I'm scared," and you knew deep down inside there was nothing you could do? Well, now you can. With a survival depot, when the terrorist strike hits this summer, tomorrow, election day, let's face it, it can happen any time. And the way the American people are rolling over for Kerry, it'll probably happen sooner than later, so you have to act.
And not only that, but you sound like you have a real agenda against John Kerry.
Well, it doesn't matter whether it's John Kerry or George Bush. What matters is this. The Spanish terror strike set the tone. And so it is now very, very likely, in fact, inevitable, that a terror strike is going to happen. I'm just trying to get people prepared. And I can tell you the items that we have.
So this terror strike that is going to hit the United States, though, you're saying is so apocalyptic.
Well, it's not going to be the end of the world, but it's certainly going to.
No, you're making the noises like a lot of these guys. A terror strike in the United States will be so apocalyptic that we need gas lanterns, and we need this, and we need that, and we need.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with being prepared.
Well, how prepared am I supposed to be? You're saying a radiological bomb, I need to get a lead-lined suit?
A radiological bomb is a dirty bomb. It is a radioactive bomb. It is not a nuclear bomb, but it uses radioactive materials. A lead-lined apron, a lead-lined kind of Kevlar suit, or lead-lined suit, is the first step toward the immediate protection against any radiation. Plus, we have Geiger equipment. But I'm a businessman, and I have traveled all over this world. I've got a real instinct for when these things are going to happen. I've got a real instinct for how the world goes. And I can assure you, without question, we're going to have a terror strike in this country.
So you come on radio shows like mine and get people scared so they'll buy your products.
No, sir, I do not.
That's the effect that you're going to have tonight, get people frightened so they'll buy your products.
If you want to say that it's me getting people frightened, I like to believe that it's me warning people and that there is this inevitability. If you don't want to do anything, that is your business, and you can act any way you want. But it's certainly to your best interests, I think, to take into consideration that Al-Qaeda is very empowered these days. The terrorists are very empowered, and I think that with the strike in Madrid, I think the next stop is for the United States.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Mr. Paul McNamara, who is talking to us about the survival depot and about the inevitability of a terror strike. So you might as well get your survival gear now. Emily, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
First of all, anyone that has a business making money off of Al-Qaeda and scaring American citizens into buying survival equipment needs to stop their business. The fact of the matter is there were nuclear threats several years ago, several decades ago.
Well, Ms. Hay, I think if we're speaking about the possibility of terror strikes, we have to be realistic about it.
We have a strong president. We have a strong president now, and frankly, I'm not fearful of a terrorist attack.
Certainly, but then we didn't expect one on 9/11 either, and look what we got. What I'm just simply trying to do is prepare people, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that I'm breaking a law, certainly, and I think at the end of the day, you'd probably thank me.
I don't think I'll be saying thank you. I didn't say thank you to people that created the fear of having nuclear shelters underneath their houses, and I don't think I'll be thanking you for making a business off of.
Well, can I walk you? Let me walk you down memory lane. You remember on 9/11? How prepared were you?
I was not.
Okay. Well, do you want that to happen again? No, of course you don't. What's wrong? You know they're going to hit. That's just a matter of.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Oh, come on. I mean, they hit Spain. The job they did in Spain was so successful that they can't help but want to come after America now. And why not be prepared is all I'm saying. We've got a special right now on the, as I mentioned, the lead line suits, the radiological bombs. Are you a mother, ma'am?
No, I'm only 21 years old.
Well, someday you hope to have children, I'm sure. And
yes.
A radiological bomb is going to put a stop to any hope you have of having kids if the radiation is able to contaminate, your ability to have children. So what I'm saying is this kind of equipment is something that can certainly help you.
Well, why put a young woman of 21 in fear that she'll never have children again to buy a lead-lined suit?
Well, if the day comes that they do hit us with a radiological bomb and Emily someday wants to have a child and can't have a child, Mr. Ennie, is she going to blame me or is she going to blame you?
How many people do you think this scare tactic
why would you risk your life and the life of your unborn children by being arrogant? That's all I'm
saying.
Sir,
I risk my life by getting in my car every day.
Well, I think that's a very simple thing to say.
Accurate thing to say.
I don't know if you know how accurate it is, since you probably haven't experienced the kind of horror that I have in my life seeing a lot of these terror attacks, but I can assure you that they're not very friendly looking.
Yes, sir, I understand that. I respect that. But my point is, there were threats
Do you want to give birth to a mutant?
No, sir.
All right, then radiological lead line.
Why would you say something like that?
Because there are millions of young women like Emily who will give birth to mutants if a radiological bomb is released.
These threats were there years ago in the Cold War, and the fact of the matter is we had a strong president who didn't back down in the face of terror, same as we have today. President Bush, he's not afraid of these guys. He's gone out there and he's hunted them. And that's why I'm not afraid.
Well, Bush may not be president. I mean, they're going to get this Kerry guy in there because the American people are afraid. Emily, I admire your courage, but you're all alone.
All right, Emily, thank you for your call, though. 1-800-449-8686. When you say millions of young women giving birth to mutants...
Well, the inevitability of a terror attack and the high probability that it's a radiological attack means that you're going to have an awful lot of young women who are in their childbearing years giving birth to mutants, permutations, genealogical transformations and transfixations because they didn't protect themselves. Now, if you're a young woman in her 20s and you want to give birth to something that is barely human, that is your...
I think that is just the worst kind of fear-mongering. Give birth to something that's barely human. We're not living in the Cold War any longer.
We're living in a time, Mr. Henry, when someone can walk into a...
Well, we're living in a time where there is a threat of terrorism, yes. Remember, they used to say that anthrax was going to be this, that, and everything else. We found out that anthrax had a limited threat, and I'm sure the same is with radiological weapons. As a matter of fact, radiological weapons, the chance of it spreading to much larger areas affecting millions of people as opposed to maybe hundreds is very low.
Mr. Henry, I've been a businessman and traveled this entire world, and you're talking, if you'll pardon me, right out of your rear end, because I can tell you...
No, I'm not talking out of my rear end. I could get anybody on here as an expert. And to say that young women...
These young American women are extremely selfish to want to bring generations of mutants into the world, where the earth is crawling with mutants, and we're living underground at some point. I think that if I was a young American woman who cared about her country and cared about the future of her country, Al-Qaeda is ready to strike. The Survival Depot has the things that will keep your child from coming out mutant.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Talking to Paul McNamara, who is with McNamara Cutler Communications. They run the Survival Depot, and their feeling is that there is a very high probability of a terrorist attack now in the United States because of the success in Munich, or in Madrid, I should say. And there's a high probability it'll be a radiological bomb, which means women of childbearing years will give birth to mutants. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Paul McNamara joins us of the Survival Depot. We're talking about survival gear. You know, I remember when all of this stuff was really popular after 9/11. Everybody was frightened, especially the anthrax attacks and everything like that. And we sort of got our heads about us. It seems, Mr. McNamara, you know, guys like you just play on the fear again to make money.
That is the criticism, Mr. Hendry. And I will tell you that I am not immune to having my feelings hurt, but I'm a businessman.
Well, yeah, I understand. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but for God's sake, can't you understand that there are people who will see this and simply say, this guy's trying to make money. He's trying to fearmonger.
I did not invent the train bombing in Madrid. I did not invent the bombings that we've seen recently by Al-Qaeda, and I did not invent their communication saying that they want to come after the United States again. I'm simply here to try to provide a service, a much-needed service, especially our young mothers out there. If the radiological bomb is used as a terror weapon, as I imagine it will be, because there will be a terror strike in the United States, there will be...
You know, you're not even a politician, you're not a diplomat, you're not a defense specialist, and you saying there will be a terror strike.
Mr. Henry, I've been a salesman all over this world. I've seen a lot of things.
Well, being a salesman and a diplomat are different.
Well, if you are saying to millions of young women in America tonight, don't worry about a radiological bomb, and the next thing you know, they give birth to a thing instead of a human.
Well, this idea of giving birth to mutants, it would scare anybody. And I think it's a little overblown.
Again, you can say I'm overblowing the threat. But I would show you Madrid, and then I would tell you that there are radiological bombs that are being shot right now, and you've got young women out there that would like to give birth to a bouncing baby boy, not a thing that could possibly harm them or members of their family.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Glenn. Glenn, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. First of all, I agree with the caller and the host. This guy is such a salesperson. He's so proud of that. He has no substance. If you hear him, he repeats everything over and over again. There's no substance to what he's talking about.
Well, the
he's
substance
trying to make
is
everybody
what I'm trying to get everybody to understand what the threat is.
No, there's no, you know what? And you said something to the last caller about not being prepared for 911.
Right, were you?
You know, you get a suit and then we wouldn't have been crushed by the building? Whatever. Our government should have been prepared. We all need to be on guard, but we don't need to live in fear. And I resent you being an American acting like you hate Americans.
Oh, man,
you need
man,
to go live somewhere else. We need
I'm
to appreciate where we live.
Of course, and I'm not the
and
one.
And we have a great president who has protected our country.
The American people are the ones that have put themselves in this position by wanting to vote for John Kerry. I'm trying to protect humans from the possibility of radiological mutation. And I don't think there's anything wrong with warning a young lady or even a woman of advanced years such as yourself that you need to have...
You have no compassion. You have no compassion. You're coming off as very cold, money-hungry, not very intelligent, because you keep repeating.
Point.
I don't know if you've got a script, but you keep repeating the same thing over and over again.
What have I repeated over and over again? I'll try Madrid,
the radioactive suit, Madrid. I mean, it's
Am I making that up? Am I making up Madrid?
What do you do? What items do you have? And how much
Ma'am,
are these things?
Let me
it's
ask
so
you,
ridiculous.
You know, I can do this very simply. Did you ever see the film Alien with Sigourney Weaver?
Yes.
Do you want something like that coming out of you?
Oh, that is so far-fetched.
Well, wait a second.
Ma'am, you may question the way I sell product, but the day you give birth to a baby girl with a hole in her chest,
Are you concerned about the people who smoke cigarettes that have distorted this, that, and the other? Are you worried about the people who drink?
My job, ma'am, that is not my inventory is survival and core. I'm not a doctor. I do what I do. Yeah. I sell survival equipment, and I'm trying
to
tell
you.
You
are a salesperson. You keep saying it. You are a salesperson. You are a businessman.
Right. When you're wandering through the radiation and struggling your way through the rubble. You'll remember you had this conversation with me.
Yeah. So how many people are buying your products?
We're doing very well, thank you.
There was mutants.
We're doing very well. Yeah, you go ahead and make jokes. You know, they laughed at Noah, too.
Whatever.
All right, listen, Glenn, thank you.
You know, people that say whatever, I really have a violent, I get violent with them. I'd like my chicken, my children to be able to...
just like the Al-Qaeda if you get violent. You can't live in
fear. I'd like my children to be able to walk to school. Yours will be dragging their fins.
Oh,
whatever.
Jesus. All right.
Whatever.
You know, let's grow up, huh?
Let's grow up.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Next terror strike is inevitable in the U.S. Phil Hendry Show.
One 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I have Paul McNamara on the line with me of the Survival Depot. Now, let me ask you, Mr. McNamara, because I've heard my listeners say this. We don't have anything to fear. President Bush has been a very good president when it comes to deterring, when it comes to deterring and defending us from terror strikes. So why would we need to invest in survival gear now?
I heard those comments, and I don't know whether your audience is not listening or whether they're slower than a lot of these talk radio audiences that I've been to. I mean, I have...
Well, let's not offend my audience. What is your answer?
Well, my answer is this. You may not have George Bush as the president. You see, Al-Qaeda changed the government in Spain. They want to do the same thing here in the United States. So a terrorist strike would get Ralph Nader or whoever it is. It'd probably get Ralph Nader. I mean, that's how bad the American people right now are feeling. Look, you got the price of oil going through the roof. You got the stock market going through the floor. The American people are so scared right now that they would elect Gary Coleman if they felt that that would keep Al-Qaeda from striking. Now, we have at our Survival Depot, I can put together a safety packet for a family of four, $800. That will protect your family from radiation, deformity, retardation, infertility. This will really increase the improbability of you having a spastic kid or a blind kid or some kid that's... Yesterday, my wife and I were sitting in the car, and I saw a guy going across the crosswalk, kind of walking, as if he had wings, you know, flapping his hands up and down. And I said, look at that. See, that's what's going to be popping out by the millions if these guys get in here with a radiological bomb.
You have an insensitivity, sir, toward people who have these afflictions.
No, I don't. I have a realistic view, Phil.
No, you have an insensitivity, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Cindy, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I am appalled at this guy. I mean, absolutely appalled. To the point that I've called in. I've never called a radio show in my life.
You know, I find it funny that people are appalled with me. I'm trying to help this country protect itself from the inevitability of a mutant-producing radiological...
Will you come on with that
mutant... Are you psychic?
Well, I'm not psychic, but I can certainly read the news. They did it in Madrid to change the government. If they could do it over here and change Bush's government, Blair's government, and in London, they'll do it as well.
You know what you remind me of? You remind me of one of those traveling salesmen back in the 1800s selling their elixirs.
Well, that may be true, ma'am, but you know, you can make it about me, but it's about Al-Qaeda and what they want to do to this country.
It's not about you. You're on a political kick, and you don't want...
So you think it's all a big fairy tale? You think it's all a big fairy tale?
I think it's ridiculous that you're trying to scare the American women...
Are you of childbearing years?
Sweetie, I'm 36 years old and I've born four children.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, nobody, not you, or any other man, is going to be able to scare me or anybody else that I know of into buying some lead-lined suit that you can't prove to me is going to work.
Wait a second. Everyone knows that lead inhibits radiation. Why do you wear a lead apron when you get your teeth x-rayed? Hello?
I don't know, but you know what?
Well,
you're not going
to
put it over your eye sockets, and you're not going to put it over your whole body.
Because
there's
going
to be somewhere for it to seep into, isn't there?
You can get lead contact lenses. There are ways of...
You're going to be flopping around like a fish with the rest of us. So why are you sitting here saying that crap?
I'm talking about you pushing out another mutant when the rest of the world's trying to...
I wish I knew where you were right now, because I'm going to tell you something. Anybody who has the unmitigated gall, I bet you don't even know what that is. How about you go look it up? I bet you don't have any clue. You have no clue about anything that you're talking about.
You wish you knew where I was. You could come and make love for me.
Talk about people with fins. Lost your mind.
Ma'am.
You know what?
I'm just trying to put an end to these types of afflictions.
You opened a big can of worms, mister, because I'm going to say something. I want children.
Well, what do they look like?
This is what I'm saying.
Well, wait, what does that mean? What do they look like?
Well, if she hasn't got a problem with mutants, maybe she's already popped out three or four. This is what I'm trying to say.
Wait a second.
I'm at your KKK agent, aren't you?
Well, I'm not the one with a southern accent. But anyway,
I don't have a problem with any people.
Ma'am,
but I do have people with you because you're ignorant.
So
and you're on the radio. Oh, my God. How the hell did you make it to radio?
Ma'am, I have...
Look at Mr. McNamara. Rather than engage in insults of my caller, I want to know an answer to this woman's question, which is, you are not psychic. You don't know that there's going to be a terror strike. Yes, Spain. Yes, there have been incidents, but we have a security office here.
Oh, come on. Will you, Mr. Henry? Anybody knows that one radiological bomb, and this woman's got a kid growing a hand out of the top of his head, and then she's going to wish to God I was around with a lead-lined suit. But no, she's giving me crap right now. But like I said to the other lady... They gave crap to a guy by the name of Noah. Maybe you heard about him. He was building a boat. they said, hey, old man, you're stupid. In a lot of ways, I feel like Noah, trying to tell people what, you know, they don't want to listen to me. Go ahead, have a kid with a...
Then why don't you try a different marketing tactic instead of attacking the American women and making it seem like we're so stupid and, oh, my God, there's a bomb. Oh, God, I got to run out and buy this idiot suit for $800. You have lost your friggin' mind.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you that if you don't want to buy the suit, one of your neighbors will, and then they will, when you're knocking on the door wanting you and your three-legged kid to get in, they won't let you in. So, you know.
You know what? I hope some person somewhere tonight does something about you because, you know what?
You have no business on the radio running your mouth. You know, I've been trying
None.
To help the American people, and you're violent. All you want to do is wish ill. I wish good on you. I wish good on
really?
American people.
Oh, really? You're wishing good on somebody
yes.
with hands growing out of head?
No, I said I hope you don't give birth to a kid with a hand growing out of his head. Did you hear what I said?
You're going to be the one standing back going, ha-ha, I told you,
You've got four children, huh? And with you
you're
being so cheap,
happens.
Those four kids of yours will be giving birth to kids with heads growing off of their thighs. Thanks a lot.
You know
what is that about, man?
Thanks a lot, all you want to.
Thank you very much.
You need to crawl back in the cave you came from, because you're the only mutant that I've heard or seen tonight.
Very good.
And you know what? You're not psychic. You don't know what the heck's going to happen. You have no right sitting here talking about women like you are. You're sitting here saying we're not smart enough to figure out that you are an idiot and have no clue about what's going to happen. It's kind of like everybody saying, I am the first one to believe in God.
Cindy, you made a very good point.
Coming for years.
You made a good point when you said Mr. McNamara is the only mutant here tonight.
Oh, is that right?
Thank you.
Look at you pandering to these women, Mr. Henry, when I'm trying to sell them. Cindy, make sure you don't get your new tail caught in the door.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Yeah, my mutant tail is going to get out of my car just fine. The only mutant around here is going to be the one slithering into his bed covers tonight, and that's that poor sorry sap right there talking.
Whatever.
Oh, whatever? The last caller, you didn't
have
a comeback?
Then whatever.
You know, I wish I knew where you were tonight. I'd come and make...
You know what?
I would make passionate love to you if I found you.
I wouldn't let you get between my legs if it was the last thing on earth I did.
How about a couple hundred thousand?
Only you would try to buy it because you think you can sell something, please.
I try to buy it because I think you're worth it. What do you think of that, Cindy? That's the kind of salesman
I don't think you're worth it.
Well,
I wouldn't sleep with you if you were the last person or mutant on earth. How about that?
Well, go sleep with the mutant you're sleeping with then.
All right, thanks a lot,
Cindy. I sleep with a woman every night, baby.
Like I said, mutant.
Idiot.
Whoa!
Idiot!
So you're a dyke. No wonder you've got a problem with America's future. Cut her off?
Yes, I cut her off. You had angered her to the point where she was using some profane language. But I can't say... What do you mean, go to bed with your mutant lesbian lover?
She probably sleeps with something with a hand coming out of her head, and she calls her Betty or something. I don't know.
Here is Aaron. Aaron, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Paul McNamara of the Survival Depot.
You know what? I think that this is crap, okay? How dare you? How dare you? That's all I have to say is how dare you? You do not
do that.
You do not threaten anybody, and don't you dare cut me off.
Okay? I'm not cutting you off. I want
how
to know.
How dare you threaten anybody?
Well,
okay, you do not threaten anybody.
I'm not threatening you, ma'am. What I have here is a lead-lined skirt that you'll look very nice in going out to dinner and can keep you from being radioactively contaminated.
That's crap. I think that this president has done more for us than any other president in this whole entire universe.
Who?
Okay? And I think that you are full of crap, that you probably came from some other country because Americans have the full ability to be able to take care of themselves. And
yes, they do.
Women have the full ability to take care of themselves.
Laren, I agree with that, but I also think Americans, even though we can take care of ourselves, we have a weakness when it comes to being exposed to radiation. And I would hate like heck for you to give birth to something that looks like the alien. That's all I'm trying to say.
So wait a minute. You're saying that only women are afraid of radiation and stuff like that?
Yes, but women
men
are afraid of radiation and stuff like that. Yes, men are not afraid of radiation, though. They have some... Wait a minute. For some reason, men don't fear radiation. They just walk right into a nuclear... Who do you think works at nuclear reactors? Men. Thank you.
Women are just as strong as men are. We can do anything that a man can do.
I agree.
Okay?
I agree.
I have you know that there are women doctor that has done more than any man.
Well, I agree, but women can't take radiation the way men can. Men can walk into a nuclear meltdown and just go, yeah. Oh, somebody get me a cup of coffee. I mean, I don't know what it is.
Crap.
I don't know what it is, but they can.
What? What are you talking about?
Question. What is your definition of a mutant?
A mutant is something that is so horrifying that it can... It probably has acid for blood and can, you know, live on flesh. And that's what I fear.
The movie Alien is what you're talking about.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, okay. Mutants are probably the best people that have ever come to this earth, okay? If there is, like, severe handicapped people, they are probably the smartest people I've ever heard in my whole entire life.
Are you handicapped?
So how dare you make fun of the mutants or the severe handicapped or anything, because by you saying mutant, you're basically referring to the severe handicapped, and
Aaron,
that's crap.
I can tell you this, Aaron. If mutants are the most intelligent people on Earth, and it may well be, if that's true, then you must look like Marilyn Monroe. Because
oh, well, what is that supposed to mean?
Oh, thank you. You know what? I so appreciate that compliment. I am totally, totally thanking you for that compliment. I love that compliment.
Well, don't you get
thank
it?
You.
It means if you're good-looking, you must be dumb. How could you like that compliment?
Well, we get it. We get it.
Lady, don't want... look, ladies don't want a flipper on your cheek. Don't want a baby with gills and an eye with an arm. Shop at Survival Depot.
You know what? When you have a baby, you know what?
Hey,
us women, we will always be stronger than you men because we have to deal with pregnancies and we have to deal with periods and all this stuff. So us women are always stronger than you men. Always.
Hold on for a minute. I want you to hear something. This is our new isolation tank. And this can get rid of any contamination from a radiological bomb. And are you there, Aaron?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, hold on. Just listen to this for just a second.
Okay.
Okay. See? Now, that's $875, and what that does is it extracts all radioactive cellular material. I'll do it one more time so you can hear it.
No!
Boy, I'll tell you, that's like a wake-up call.
You know what? You're full of crap. That is the funniest thing I've heard in my whole entire life.
That sounds ridiculous. It sounds like a dentist
drill.
Are you guys laughing at me?
Yes, we're laughing at you.
Yes!
Wait a minute. Listen.
I am busting up, cracking up. Like, it's going to go funny.
So in other words, you think I'm a lying sack of crap and all this stuff's phony baloney.
Yeah, that's what we think. We think you're trying to siphon a few bucks off of the American people, just like Y2K when those nuts were going around selling all that crap because of Y2K and it never happened. Same thing with you.
I totally agree.
Aaron, how old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 19 years old.
Perfect.
Perfect what?
I'm decontaminating. I'll see you later on.
You're,
$1,000, I can help you walk down the aisle. Otherwise, men will be using you as a basketball.
All right, look at Aaron. Thank you very much for your call.
Oh, and, you're welcome.
Wait a minute,
your show is so awesome.
You hanging up on me?
Yeah, I'm hanging up on you, you fruit.
Oh, I'm a fruit now?
Yeah, you're the mutant. How about that? There goes Paul McNamara, and if you don't want to have a mutant, buy his crap. 1-800-449-8686. Off to a roaring start this week, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
R.C. Collins was on our show on Friday. He wants to get rid of basketball in high schools and replace it with hockey because he says basketball is gay.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
R.C., man, you have got to be kidding me. What are you, 5'9", 160 pounds? You got to be scared to get into the paint with someone 6'5", 240.
Oh, yeah? What about standing in the crease? What about standing in the crease with a dude? who's got skates on that are sharpened up, razor sharp, okay?
Your physical attributes?
You know, you got to be a girl to play that game.
Listen to you. You have sit here and called out that sport as gay.
It is
gay. Listen to your voice, bro. Listen to your voice. You have yet to hit puberty, yet to see the right side of life. Let me tell you a little something about
physicality. I will not go to Iraq and fight for my country if I find out I'll end up in a foxhole.
You fight for your country, but you're 16 years old.
What the f***?
Watch your language.
Sorry. You're not fighting this. Man, you have not yet begun any part of your life to understand the physicality and the mental toughness, not to mention the teamwork. And isn't that what you're all about? Don't you have a team of men working with you?
Of course.
You can't work hand in hand with someone?
Well, sure, but how about if I work hand in hand with somebody who is in a sport where you need to have some swing and you-know-what to play it?
Let me tell you a little something about swing and you-know-what, man. I grew up a wrestler. I wrestled for Team USA for 4.5 years.
That's game too.
If you want a game other than your football, let me tell you something. Grab a hold of a wrestler and see what kind of a man you really are.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to grab
some guy. You'll walk out of there with two black eyes and a broken leg,
little boy. Wait a second. Are you telling me I'm going to grab some guy all oiled up and roll around with him? You're kidding. Are you kidding?
What? So you lose your gun. You got to fight somebody hand to hand. This guy, this towelhead, as you call him, is going to sit there and whip your little A. Man, you cannot handle yourself in some kind of hand-to-hand.
Are you trying
to tell me... 6'7", 240, is going to treat you like his little girl inside the paint.
Are you trying to tell me...
If there's a game, if there is an absolute game that you have to be physically tough, mentally tough, and in great shape to run up and down those courts, it is basketball. My father played college basketball, and he'd wear you out like a little girl.
You got to be kidding me. Too. And to be oiled up wrestling with another man...
Oiled up? Where did you get your gay porn?
Well, wait a second. That's probably against the Bible.
Is that what you have to look at? I mean, I realize you have
Let me jump in.
Gay porn is out of it.
Let me jump in, guys. Lou's talking about an Olympic sport. He's talking about a sport that is in high schools and colleges across America. And he makes a very good point about...
It's the oldest sport in the world.
Yeah, wrestling's probably against the Bible, for all I know.
Oh, you...
What?
Are you kidding me? It's in the Bible, you moron.
Yeah, well,
what kind of education do you have?
So is Gomorrah.
They teach you.
So is Gomorrah and Sodom is in the Bible too, but you're not supposed to do it.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
For all I know, wrestling's against the Bible. You know, I saw the Passion of the Christ this weekend. There ain't no wrestling in it. So, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I saw that Passions of the Christ. What do you mean it's the most violent movie ever? That's not the most violent movie I ever saw. It was a tough movie to watch, yes. But all the baloney, they didn't do that, man. They didn't rip his bicep out of his arm. I saw one thing where the thing hooked onto him and that was it. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. So, enough about Jesus. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know how I'm going to sound talking about the Passions of the Christ and then praising Israel for taking out that dirtbag Hamas leader, but here goes. I mean, I'm just human. I'm only human. I'm not the Son of God. Anyway, we went and saw it, because I hadn't seen it really. I'd heard about it, and I wanted to wait for the crowds to thin out, all that baloney. Got that real good stadium seating, too. You want to get that for this one. You want to get that good stadium seating. We got it over there on the Johnson Drive up in Ventura. What's the one up there? I forget. It's got that real cool, it's up in Ventura. It's the stadium seating thing. So, everything you've heard about it is that it's the most violent film you'll ever see. I guess that's subjective. It wasn't the most violent film I've ever seen, but then it was violent enough. It was violent enough. I only got two criticisms. And these are actually compliments. Number one, the whatever you call it, I don't know, because I don't make movies or anything, but what do you call it, the costumes and set design, all this stuff, was so great. And the Roman soldiers, man, these guys were every Nazi you ever saw in a movie and then like 50-fold. Those guys were great. And I wish Gibson would have just held the shots on those guys longer, as opposed to cutting here and there. There's this thing, you know, you always hear about it, the quick cut, the MTV generation, cut, which is fine, but sometimes there is something to be said for just looking at a really interesting, like, portrait of something as it's transpiring. So I wish he would have done that. And then I don't think he needed all that slow-mo. I don't get slow motion. I you know, when Arthur Penn introduced it with Bonnie and Clyde way back in the day, it was fascinating to see the bullets tear into them in slow motion. But now slow motion is slow motion. It doesn't look real. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Jewish guards come to get him, and they have that duke out, it's almost like there's this little fisticuff kind of scuffle going on, and Peter pulls his knife out. I would have liked to have seen that in real time, as opposed to some dun-dun-dun-dun, and now here comes the knife, the cut off the ear, and it's in slow motion. So other than that, that's just a bunch of baloney. I would recommend you see it, if for no other reason than this. Ever since we were little tiny kids, we were told about this guy Jesus, whether you believe in him or not, whether you don't believe in him or not. You should watch this flick so you can get an idea as to what, I don't know whether it's Christians necessarily, but what Catholics, what their hang-up is with looking at crucifixes and pictures of him hanging off that cross, because it's a brutal movie. Brutal. And it's poignant as well, because there's flashbacks where he remembers himself as a young man building a table in his mother's garden, and there's a flashback of her remembering him when he was a little baby falling down, and then he falls down with the cross, and that's, you know, just, that'll rip your heart out. And, you know, and then the crucifixion itself, it's very realistically drawn, as realistically as this stuff can get. Now, me, I'm the kind of guy, I go home, I get on the internet, and I start looking up things, like Pontius Pilate. Who was this cat anyway? Did he really have a wife named Claudia who was almost a Christian? Because this movie will have you believe that Pilate had a wife who was religious, and she thought Jesus was all that, and she didn't want him to get crucified. Fact is, she is not mentioned in Roman history, as far as I can tell, at all. She's mentioned in Christian literature, but then that's to kind of sell Christianity. So there's that little thing, and then there was one other deal. I forget. Good movie. And the you know, I don't understand what people were talking about. These knuckleheads that came out before this movie and said, yes, he's risking his career. This could be the biggest mistake he's ever. What mistake? I mean, if the thing didn't make a nickel, all you could say was, all right, so he tried it, he failed. He'll go back to making what women want in Braveheart. Yeah, right. He's risking a whole lot. He risked $30 million. That's what he risked. And not that that's a drop in the bucket, but Mel Gibson, I figure for him, that it pays for tap water for a month. He ain't risking diddly squat. Now, I'll tell you what he's risking. He's risking a freaking hernia picking up $500 million. You better get some help with that, Mel. I'll volunteer. Good flick. Different flick. Different kind of an experience. And the Aramaic and the Latin, wow, those actors, how they mastered that. But that was very good, too. And it's the only flick you'll ever see subtitled that's going to make $1 billion worldwide. So, yeah, he busted every single solitary rule and then some and came out smelling like a rose. So congratulations to him. Although I have to tell you, after all is said and done, if you're not religious in any way, shape, or form, the movie is probably not going to interest you one bit. I think the reason why the movie's making a lot of money is that everybody who, even if they claim they're not religious, they've got some remembrance of religious training, tutelage, and so they, well, I want to kind of see what this thing's about. Everybody, whether they're an atheist or an agnostic, everybody in this country at least was raised with some kind of a Christian background, so they want to go see it. But if you're really just a religious, it's going to be boring. It'll just be some guy getting the crap kicked out of him, and you'll feel really bad for him. But maybe on that basis, you ought to go see it. So there it is. That's our movie pick of the week. I give it a thumbs up. And along the religious line that we've taken this hour, congratulations to Israel, because they took out that guy from Hamas in one of the most breathtakingly bold, fantastic operations in the history of the world. They blew up that wrinkled up, dried up old cripple who was encouraging young people to go out and strap bombs to themselves and walk into pizza parlors. Good riddance to bad crap. Good for you, Israel. Because let me say this. I know there's a lot of people saying, "Why, you fascist?" Yeah, okay, sure. That's what I am. This old creep tells little kids to go out and strap bombs to themselves, but I'm the fascist. Hey, and by the way, that old bum said that he, when they asked him, what do you think about Israel gunning for you? He said, I've always wanted martyrdom. Well, I got a great idea. Then why don't you put a bomb on yourself? And why don't you walk into a place, preferably like an old folks home or something? Someplace you could relate. No, he's just sitting there in his wheelchair going back and forth to prayers. So they did him a big fat favor. They took him out. They martyred him. And now there's 200,000 Palestinians that want revenge. Do you understand this religion? Because I don't. How can you want revenge when the guy got what he wanted, martyred him? That's number one. Number two, there's really only one country on earth. Only one country in the world that knows exactly what it's doing when it comes to this so-called war on terror. And that's Israel. Why? Two reasons. Number one, they're ruthless. Number two, they don't care what anybody thinks about them. They don't have what I call the what will the neighbors think syndrome. See, America suffers, we suffer from that what will the neighbors think thing. We care what everybody thinks. We wring our hands that if we do this, this is going to look bad. If we do that, this is going to look bad. If we had a little more of the moxie that the Israelis have got, we wouldn't have half the problems we got today. But then Israel, they're fighting for their survival, so they don't care. When you're fighting for your very guts, what do they care whether or not they think, you know, you caught a bad-smelling fart and the screen door wasn't open? They're just doing what they're doing. And if you want to take a lesson from a country, I said this right after 9/11, I'll repeat it. Israel is the country that ought to be our model. And I mean that in terms of the way they secure their country and in terms of the way they deal with terrorism. They believe that they're at war. They believe that they've been at war since 1948, that the Arabs have made no secret at all that they want to take them out for good. They don't want them around. They don't want any Jews around there at all. By the way, if you're an Arab, you ain't going to want to go see this movie. If you're Muslim, you do not want to see The Passions of the Christ. You don't want to see it because it makes very, very clear that the primary residents of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago were Jews. And that's going to kind of bum you out if you're Islam and you think that whole shooting match belongs to you. It's going to bum you out if you're Islam and you think that whole Middle East belongs to you. You're going to be very troubled to learn there were lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of Jewish folk running around there all over the place thousands of years ago. So now what are you going to say? I would not see that movie if I were you, because it's going to put you on a real bummer. That and that old wrinkled up, dried up piece of crap that got blowed up, it's going to make for a real sorry weekend. But really, Israel is the only country in the world that knows what it's doing when it comes to terrorism. And if we had any moxie at all in this country, which of course we don't have, because now what are we getting? In the face of an ever-mounting Al-Qaeda threat, what with the operation there in Madrid, the probability of it happening throughout Europe, what are we doing? We're arguing about what we should have done. We got this guy Clark who published a book. I'll tell you right now, this Richard Clark, you're a bald-faced liar, pal. What do you think of that? You're a liar. See, I'm not saying it because I'm a George Bush supporter. I'm saying it because I just know when someone's full of crap. There's an old saying, don't bull crap a bull crapper. You're looking at him. There's a difference between a guy saying, well, I'll give you an example of what I'm saying. There's a difference between a guy saying this. Mr. President, we should look at A. Yeah, well, forget about A. Let's look at Z. But Mr. President, there is no Z. We should look at A. Oh, forget that. Let's look at Z. Okay, there's a difference between that, which is what this guy Clark, every Democrat that ever lived, everybody that hates America and so on and so forth, that's what they want you to believe today, and this, Mr. President, we should look at A. All right, I understand look at A, but what about Z? But Mr. President, there's no connection between Z and between A. Still, I want to see about Z. Look into Z. But Mr. President, I can assure you there's no connection. Fine, look into it. Now, that is not saying, I have an agenda, and I don't care if it is Al-Qaeda, I want to go after it. That's not that. What that is, yes, I understand about Al-Qaeda, but what about these guys here? Well, why would you look at them? Oh, I don't know. They tried to have an American president assassinated. Does that make any difference to anybody? And before we go on about how George Bush didn't do this and George Bush didn't do that, we're told, and this is a president that I voted for, President Clinton, we are told that the Clinton administration fully warned President Bush about the threat of Al-Qaeda. Ladies and gentlemen, You got to be colossally ignorant not to recognize the fact that people are asking you to forget that during Mr. Clinton's administration, we had the coal, we had the World Trade Center, and we had the embassy bombings, okay? And if anybody ought to be looking into Al-Qaeda, it should have been our president, Mr. Clinton, a guy that I gladly, proudly voted for. I don't believe, in other words, that President Clinton was derelict any more than I think that President Bush was derelict. But the ignorant campaign that's being carried out today in this country, forget about the fact that we all ought to pull together and try to protect our country. The ignorant, stupid debate that's going on in our country right now, is President Bush derelict? Was he derelict in his duty to this country? Yes, yes, he must have been. He must have been. He's a liar. He's derelict. They want to think everything and anything about this guy. Maybe he ain't the brightest bulb of the tree, but they want to go even further than that. They want to say that he was absolutely derelict. He knew that Al-Qaeda was a threat, but he ignored and he went after Iraq. That is crap. Didn't happen. This guy Clark is a lying sack of crap, and he's trying to sell a book. Dereliction's one thing. Mistakes are another. And all of this is happening right now on the eve of probably what will be one of the most violent summers we've ever seen. The very high probability we're going to see a terrorist attack on our own soil. The higher probability we'll see one on the in the continent of Europe. An American public now that every step of the way demoralizes the men and women fighting against the terror scourge in Iraq, where it was sponsored, where it was funded, where it was promoted. We still want to play our silly games. We still want to play our silly, silly little games with language and memos and phone records and this entity isn't that entity. They're completely exclusive. Well, okay, go ahead, man. You know, last week I was on the air in Toronto. Oh, my God. It was the silliest thing you ever heard in your life. You know, I always have a good time when I'm on the air with my Canadian friends, but the naivete up there, it's like the dumbest American, like they all moved up there. Bush is evil. Sharon's a bastard. Of course, in Canada, anti-Semitism is almost like a national pastime. And what else? It's just all our fault. It's all our fault. I got a little news flash for you. Take America off the face of the earth. You know where you're living? You're living in it's Mad Max territory, baby. It's Road Warrior. You take this country off the face of the earth. Anyway, that's my speech. Go see the Passions of the Christ, especially if you Islam. 1-800-449-8686. Email address phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In case you guys don't know, when I say this guy Richard Clark, a lot of you don't know what I'm talking about. I don't blame you. I mean, you can't keep up on every little piece of swill that all the news junkies think is just so fascinating. This guy was a former advisor to President Bush, and he wrote a book called something, I don't know, Turd in the Woodpile. I don't know what it was called. What was it called? I'm so bitchin' because I knew about terrorism, George Bush didn't. It ought to be called that. And, of course, he says, I thought it was a real threat, and I tried to get the president. I think he's done a terrible job against terrorism. I thought it was a real threat, and he could have done something. And, yeah, sure you did, Dick. Sure you did, baby. Yeah, you were the one guy, huh? Yeah, okay. That makes about 100 million of you. In the aftermath of September 11th, President Bush ordered his then-top anti-terrorism advisor to look for a link between Iraq and the attacks, despite being told there didn't seem to be one. Hey, Clark, that makes you an idiot. Oh, the book's called Against All Enemies. You'd have to be a moron not to look into any possible link between the 9/11 attacks and Iraq. And how did he know there wasn't any? How did he know? This was, we're told this happened within days. He says, I find it outrageous the president's running for re-election on the grounds that he's done such great things about terrorism. He ignored terrorism for months when maybe he could have done something to stop 9/11. Maybe we'll never know. Clark went on to say, I think he's done a terrible job on the war against terrorism. Let me ask you guys a question, and I could be completely and utterly stupid, but then that won't stop me from, you know, doing my show until I get fired. What's doing a bad job on terrorism? We had an attack called 9/11. We haven't had anything like it since. Now, we've taken out a regime that everybody pays lip service was a bad, bad thing, and we're really glad that he's gone, but... You know, they say the real answer comes after the word but. So when you hear someone say, look, Saddam Hussein was a terrible man, and I'm really glad he's gone, but, see, why do they throw that little gratuitous pre-sentence in? Why not just get to your point, you chicken? What's the matter? You got to pay the gratuitous lip service, the fact you don't like Saddam Hussein, and everything you've got to say shouldn't be construed as support for Saddam Hussein, because you're really glad that he's gone, but we shouldn't have taken him out. What exactly are you people talking about? Anybody got an interpreter for them? This guy goes on to say that he tried to warn Bush, huh? He said he tried to tell the president that al-Qaeda should be taken very seriously as a severe threat. And Bush, of course, he didn't take that seriously at all. He thought that that was all a load, right? That's why we attacked Afghanistan, what was it, 5 weeks later? Because Bush thought that al-Qaeda wasn't a threat? Somebody thinks you're really stupid, folks. And his name is Richard Clark. And he's another disgruntled guy that lost his job. And he's out there peddling a freaking book, like everybody's doing today. Yeah, Bush didn't think al-Qaeda was a threat at all. That's why we sent battalions into Afghanistan, and while we're still looking for Osama bin Laden. And I can remember the days of Afghanistan like they were yesterday. I remember the people crying about the fact that we went in there, too. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. Do you remember all the people up in San Francisco protesting against the war in Afghanistan? Now those same cats will say, why are we looking for al-Qaeda, man? Why are we going after Iraq? Well, you guys didn't even want us going after al-Qaeda. I don't know. It's enough to make a guy want to just break down and weep. Which I think I'm going to do right now, if you'll pardon me during this commercial break. Don't forget the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD. I'll tell you what will really make me cry if you guys don't buy my CD. The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD available. It's called The Death of Talk Radio, and it's never been truer than this year. Buy it online or call 877-616-7445. You can go to www.philhenryshow.com or call 877-616-7445. Plenty more fun to come. Warren Sapp has joined the Raiders. They're about to get it from me in just a couple of minutes for the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Got a picture of this guy, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. This is the guy from Hamas that Israel greased very effectively today. Now, this old bastard woke up in hell this morning. He thought he was going to be in heaven. He woke up cooking on a spit in hell. So he's one shocked old creep. That beard of his is pretty well singed off. I mean, where else does a guy go who encourages kids to strap bombs to themselves and blow up other kids? Where else does a dirty, filthy old man who encourages children to put bombs on and go blow up other children, where else does a dirty, filthy old fool like that wind up but cooking on a spit down in Satan's barbecue pit? Pork sandwiches on special, 1 o'clock, lunch special till 2, business band special till 4. Catfish sandwiches at 5. Where else does a dirty old... Look at this old fool. Well, you're cooking now, man, and I bet you it smells pretty bad. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Here is Sean. Sean?
Hello, Phil.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well tonight. Yourself?
Good, man.
Good. I was just wondering if you're aware who the biggest recipient of U.S. foreign aid is in the whole world.
Probably Israel.
It's true. So they can kind of afford to have this stance on, you know, knocking off whoever they want because they don't have to worry about business or anything. Because
they're
they're
a real Nazi power down there, all 5 million of them.
Well, they got a wall, which hasn't proved successful any other time.
I don't think they have the wall yet.
Well, not quite, but it's coming.
And it is unique. It's not trying to keep people in. It's trying to keep people the hell out,
yeah.
Which is one that we ought to put up, quite frankly.
Well, the Maginot Line worked pretty well. I mean,
no, fixed defenses never work well, but they're just trying to keep suicide bombers out, not tanks.
Yeah. I guess the other thing is that by knocking them off, I mean, look at what they did with Christ. I find it interesting that you brought up that movie as well, because 2,000 years later, there's still people dying in his name, so...
Well, let's put it this way, man. Well, we know what the Jews did to Jesus, but we know what the Christians have done to Jews 20-fold since then. So whatever the Jews did to Jesus, man, they paid for it in full.
True. True. And the other thing, just because you're anti-Israeli doesn't make you anti-Semitic. And, I mean, that's
sure.
Just because I live with a bunch of...
Yeah, whatever you say, man.
I live with Jewish roommates. And,
sure, you live with Jewish roommates.
This morning.
And you always laugh when they use words like Pesach and Purim, right?
Oi, oi.
Oi?
Yes, I do.
What is Purim?
Beats the hell out of me.
Yeah, I know. See you later, white boy. Some dumbass from Canada. Yeah, I got Jewish roommates. Yeah, I'll bet. How do you know that, man? Because they're stealing all your tip money? 1-800-449-8686. Let me tell you something about these FCC rulings. If you think that they're bad, they are bad. But there's one... There is... Can I say something? I want to... I can't get over that guy. Anti-Israeli doesn't make you anti-Jewish. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. You hear what I'm saying? Yes, it does. If you're anti-Israeli, it means you don't want Israel to exist. That makes you nothing more than a flaming anti-Semite. So, no, that's fine. You be whatever the hell you want to be. I don't give a crap. The world's full of idiots. You know, you can be just one more of them. But don't start, you know, don't bring that mess in here. I got Jewish roommates. What do you mean? You mean you got Jewish bosses is what you mean, don't you? The FCC rulings, everybody deplores them. The limitation of speech, yes. The infringement of the rights of broadcasters, yes. And certainly what I've talked about time and again, the gutlessness of my industry in the face of unprecedented and illegal fines being meted out by the FCC. However, can I just say one thing? If the FCC rulings have done one thing that is good, they've done this. They've suddenly, I'm watching magically here in the news every few days, all these lightweights are getting weeded out. Do you notice this? These guys that got no material at all other than some stupid sixth-generation sex bit. For instance, this guy, Elliot in the Morning, you heard about him? Look, I don't want to bag on anybody, but I will say this. If all you got is material that's going to put you in hot water with the FCC, I know for a fact you're not standing on First Amendment grounds. What you're doing is you're standing on what the general manager wants you to do. First Amendment free speech. You got a general manager who wanted that kind of a morning show, and now that you're getting fined, you're getting fired, or you're getting suspended, and the GM is still going home every night in his Mercedes. Isn't he, sucker? Hey, Elliot in the Morning, what kind of car does your general manager drive? I'll bet you anything it's at least a Mercedes-Benz. At least a Mercedes-Benz. Is he getting fined? Is he suspended? Is he sitting sucking on his thumb waiting for a call from the boss? What about your program director? Has he still got a job? You dumbass. Poor Elliot in the Morning. You know what your problem was, Elliot? You got no other material, man. Now we move on to the regular guys. Atlanta. Dateline Atlanta. These numbskulls couldn't turn their mic off in the middle of a commercial break. So they're sitting there talking about sex acts with animals. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Sex acts with each other. And the next thing you know, these dumbbells, the guy comes in, they're suspended. Well, what do you expect? Jesus, this is, you know, they're in Atlanta, okay? Major market. Dumbbell number one don't know how to turn off the microphone. Maybe dumbbell number two could have reminded him. Have they got an engineer? Have they got a producer? Is there anybody in that room that's conscious, that's got something left of their brain after the lobotomy, after the shock therapy? So those clowns are suspended. So you see what I'm saying? These guys are so devoid of material that when they got this stuff on the air, even off the air, they're using it. They don't know how to have a conversation with each other that doesn't involve something profane or sexual. How about, hey, been fishing this weekend? That'd be nice. No, these guys, they go off, they launch into a description of the joys of sex with animals or something. So those idiots are off the air. Suspended until further notice. See? In other words, the point that I'm trying to make here is all of a sudden, all of these lightweights have started sort of bubbled to the surface and they're getting bounced because they can't talk about anything else. Now, again, in the case of all the aforementioned, whether it be the guys in Atlanta or this Elliot guy, wherever he was, I don't even know where the hell he was.
Washington.
These cats, he was in Washington? These guys, and they got bosses, they got program directors and general managers that I guarantee right now are just kicking it. They still got their jobs. I don't think I don't think any general manager should be left standing when a talent gets fired. And I'll tell you why I single out general managers as opposed to, for instance, program directors. General managers are generally the guys who really want to get that edgy morning show on the air so they can really sell the young demos. They know the success that Howard's had, so there's been 958 million generations of clones off of his show. I mean, the lack of originality in this business is enough to make you want to blow your brains out. It's enough to make you want to slaughter a pig with a chainsaw. Oh, you mean Bubba the Love Sponge already did that? Okay. Well, there you go, man. When Bubba wasn't talking about sex with his mother, he's slaughtering a pig with a chainsaw, see? So that's original, I guess. There's a general manager somewhere that wanted that edgy morning show to get them young demos so he could really sell the, whatever the hell, the strip bars, right? That guy's still got his job, though, I guarantee you. Now, let me tell you something I said at that R&R talk radio seminar. You want to fire air talent? But when those guys pull down the big numbers, you want to take all the credit for it, don't you, fat man? You got to start firing somebody's general managers. You want to put the fear of Jesus into these guys, start firing them top to bottom. General manager, program director, music director, everybody all the way on down to the guy that's stuffing envelopes and waxing the big man's car. Clear the whole thing out. That's what I say. Bring in religious broadcasters. I think the FCC should turn every station they find into a religious broadcast station. And they lead off every morning with, "Can we gather at the river? This is the Biff and Barlow Show." Mm-mm-mm. And then they go into some hot Christian tunes, you know, the Christian Six or whatever the hell they want to call it. I mean, that's where it's going. That's where it's going, baby. Right now we have a president I happen to admire very much, but he's being co-opted by that religious right. And if ever there was a cancer on the Republican Party, it's that. You guys want to lose this election? You keep on with that gay marriage thing. You watch what happens. You just watch what happens. Do you want to lose the White House? No, I'm talking straight now. I'm not talking, there's no rhetoric here. This is just straight political advice I'm giving you. Do you really want to give it to John Kerry? You keep on with that gay marriage kick, that amendment to ban gay marriage. You'll lose the White House so freaking fast, you won't have time to get your saddle out of the Lincoln bedroom. You won't have time to get your saddle off of Laura. These cats, man, how blind these guys are, it's beyond words. So when I start my radio station, after we find all these guys like Bubba in the Morning and Elliot the Love Sponge, or whatever the hell they're called, they're going to start off with,
"You're listening to K-Christ.
Right, baby, it's about 5 minutes after the hour right now. I'm going to go off the traffic here."
Something like that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Charles. Hello, Charles.
Hi, Phil. I'm new to the show, and I got to say it's hilarious. I think you do a great job.
You're a nice man.
I think it's very interesting, your mix of comedy, entertainment, and then some straight talk.
Or what we call bullcrap.
Well, I think it's great. I saw you the other night on C-SPAN with this forum on comedy and politics.
Yeah, that was a hoot.
It was very interesting.
Jesus. That was the one from, let people know, that was the one in Aspen. It was at the Comedy Arts Festival. And
it was very interesting.
Gary Trudeau was on it, Drew Carey. Jesus. Mike Murphy, nice guy from the Schwarzenegger and Dennis Miller camps. And then, I can't remember the other guys. John Podesta?
Yeah, and the one guy to your left, I can't remember his name. I know his face, but he's just kind of trying to give you a hard time.
Greg Proops from Comedy Central. Greg's a funny guy, yeah.
And Campbell Brown from NBC News was the moderator.
Moderator, yeah, yeah.
Do you know her well?
No, I don't. I hadn't met any of those guys. I was excited to meet Gary Trudeau because he's a obviously a brilliant satirist. And everybody else kind of bored me, but anyway.
Well, I thought you did a great job, and I have a question because something you said in that forum that really struck me is, if I'm not mistaken, you refer to yourself as a liberal.
Yes.
Yet, you just said a second ago that you admire President Bush, and you've been a pretty staunch defender of the president.
Yeah.
And frankly, you sound a little bit more conservative than liberal. So
I think it's kind of liberal to say I'm a Democrat who likes guns. Don't you think that's a breath of fresh air? That's sort of liberal. I don't know. Well, look, I try to... my whole thing, Charles, because you're new to the show, is I don't... You know, this is the least successful tack I guess a broadcaster can take. I'm trying to be honest. Today we have conservative broadcasters and we have liberal broadcasters, but none of them are authentic. They're all riding the wave of some kind of a popularity that they think they have. I just feel that I have to take issues one at a time. But generally, I am liberal on most all issues. I'm liberal on the way I view government and its relationship to business and private sector. I believe in the right to bear arms and think it is wise to have a gun in the home. I believe that we do have to wage war against terrorists. Because of that, I think that President Bush is the one best suited right now to lead this country. John Kerry seems real blurry, man, to put it mildly, on a lot of these things. And he's... I don't trust the cat as far as I could throw him, so I'm sorry. I've talked to a lot of Democrats, by the way, who feel exactly the same way. They don't want to vote for this guy. I'll tell you what. This guy, Kerry, even the Democratic Party knows that he has not inspired any passion in the party. Nobody is passionate about this guy's candidacy. Nobody.
I really believe the only reason why people are rallied around him, it's a repudiation of President Bush.
That's it.
As I think you've alluded to, there's so much hatred for President Bush.
Well, it's like sick. Yes. I mean, I can understand not disagreeing with him, but hate him? Mm. How have we come to this point where we hate the man?
You must be one of the most fair-minded liberals in America then, because I mean, you're obviously able to see past your political perspective to see what makes sense for the country. I wish more liberals would see it the way you see it.
Thanks, Dad.
All right, Bill. Take care.
Bye-bye. That's my father. 1-800-449-8686. And you're listening to the world-famous, fair-minded, liberal, gun-owning, gun-toting, scum-sucking Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Next hour, we're going to talk about Warren Sapp joining the Raiders. Hoo-hoo! Boy, that's going to be big fun. Big Fat Sapp is with the Raiders? Yeah, good luck, Al. And by the way, speaking of football, the L.A. Avengers, winners over the Dallas Desperados. Talk about a gay name. Nah, I'm joking. Desperado, not Avenger. They beat them 60-44 at the American Airlines Center on Sunday. So the Avengers will be playing the SaberCats of San Jose next week. Then they're coming home. We're going to go to the game. I got some. I got season tickets for the Avengers, and I'll tell you why I got season tickets for arena football. A, it's football. B, oh my God, I'd much rather be watching that than basketball. Anyway, congratulations, Avengers, 4-2, baby. We're going to go up to the ball game. We're going to go down to the Staples Center there. I got sweet seats. Man, you know why? Because I'll tell you why. I got in on the ground floor. Everybody was like, oh, I don't know. To me, it looks like just a passing thing. Passing thing, huh? They're pulling $15,000 a game. It ain't no passing thing. It's a passing thing, if you know what I mean. 1-800-449-8686. Which one of these phone calls would you like me to go to, Mr. Pelton? I'm going to go over here to Jean Marie. Hello, Jean Marie or Jeannie Marie.
Hey, it's John Marie, but that's cool.
John Marie.
I'm in San Bernardino.
How you doing?
Yeah. Good, thanks.
Cool.
Hey, I've been listening to your show for a lot of time.
For a lot of time?
For a long time.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of time.
Are you French?
Only a little bit.
Parlez-vous français?
Only high school.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
No.
All right.
Well, I understood that, but anyway.
Can you tell me that the American colonel is hiding? I'll give you a piece of chocolate.
So I got 2 points. The first one is about you criticizing Bush for the only thing he's not been a hypocrite about, which is remaining consistent against gay marriage.
He hasn't been a hypocrite about that. What's he been a hypocrite about?
Well, being a Christian, you know, as far as I know, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill, and starting a war kind of defeats that purpose. But he's been consistent about the gay marriage thing.
Okay.
Don't you think? He's been consistent about that all along.
Consistent with what? I'm not interested in Christianity. I'm talking about him leading the country.
Well, he's
led the country very well.
He's
led the country very well as a commander-in-chief. And if he continues with this gay marriage thing, he'll be excluding a large segment of our population from their constitutional rights. It's going to murder his presidency.
Thankful.
Now, maybe you'll get to see him at church, and you can pat him on the rear end and say, good job there, George, but he won't be president when you see him. I can guarantee you that. Be long gone. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Warren Sapp has signed a 7-year, $36.6 million deal to play with the Oakland Raiders. Will shut my mouth and fan my brow. Now, the reason why is Oakland's the only town he ain't dropped a few illegitimate kids in, so he wants to make sure he's got all his bases covered. He's got him in Japan. He's got him in America. He's got him all. He wants to drop a few more illegitimate children in Oakland. All right, Warren. Hey, Warren, you're 31. You ain't no spring chicken. And let me tell you something else. Al Davis's muddy fingerprints are all over this one. This is what Al likes to do. You understand this. This is a time-honored tradition. And, frankly, it's getting old and stale. But you know how Al is. He thinks that the Raider Nation and the greatness of the Raiders and all of this falderall still matters to a whole generation of people that can't remember the last time the Raiders were in a Super Bowl, let alone even remember when Al Davis, you know, had an ass. Now he walks around with those baggy pants and that oily hair. Hey, Al, tip, little prel, gets a little bit of that grease out of your hair, you know? What is it with you greasing that hair back? And what he does is he gets all these head cases and he signs them. Back in the day when he used to sign guys like the Stork, Ted Hendricks, you know, reclamation projects like Ted Hendricks, reclamation projects like, I don't know, there have been many, many. Matuzak was one. Lyle Alzado was one. Guys that couldn't make it anywhere else and suddenly flourished as a Raider. And this was a marvelous way of infusing and reinvigorating a team that lived its image of being the bad boys of football, the black and the silver, the search and destroy. At one time, the Oakland Raiders were very much a feared team. In fact, Chuck Knoll, who was a great coach, he was the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He coached them to 4 Super Bowls in 6 seasons. Think about that one. 4 Super Bowls in 6 seasons. They were winners in 4. Chuck Knoll never won Coach of the Year. Because sports writers are all brain surgeons, as you know. So as a result, Chuck Knoll, he never won a Coach of the Year. He just won 4 Super Bowls in 6 seasons. No coach has ever done that. before or since. Chuck Knoll said that there was a criminal element in football. He was the very first individual that I remember who identified a creeping cancer in the league. He said that there was a criminal element. He made that comment after Lynn Swann was knocked unconscious by George Atkinson of the Oakland Raiders. He said it was a cheap hit. It was done purposefully, and it injured a man for no reason whatsoever. He said there's criminals playing in this game. This was a football coach. He coached football players. They won 4 Super Bowls. He was speaking, by the way, of an Oakland Raider. Now, it was enjoyed by the fans of the Oakland Raiders. They thought it was all funny. Darryl Stingley is in a wheelchair to this day because of a hit put on him by an Oakland Raider. I guess that's funny, too, huh? Is Tatum dead? Ain't Jack Tatum dead? Look that up. I think he's rotting someplace. Never said he was sorry. That's okay. Darryl Stingley long ago forgave him. So now he's going to bring Warren Sapp on. Well, times have changed, Al. Times have changed. Warren Sapp is just going to be one big ball of blubber there on the defensive line. They're going to manhandle him like your little sister. And on top of that, he's going to be a real pain in the you-know-what because he's going to get fined. He ain't going to take no lip from you. He's going to be fathering illegitimate kids. He won't want to talk to the media. You guys up in San Francisco, get used to that. He won't want to talk to you at all. He'll have you out of the locker room. He'll only talk to the choice few that'll just kiss his rear end up one side and down the next. But the rest of you guys, forget it. And I guess they see that, they can deal with a Warren Sapp where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers couldn't deal with him. He was a head case and he was a distraction to the team. But on the Raiders, man, he'll just be all that. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen, I know the Raiders made it to the Super Bowl 2 seasons ago. Have you ever seen a team collapse? I mean, just come apart the way they did the following year. And when was the last time they were in a Super Bowl? Bill McKay, what was the guy's name? Bill something or other? I don't even remember the guy that coached them. Bill Cullen, the game show host, was that him? 2 seasons later, he's fired. Oakland sucks for a variety of reasons. For the way they treat the community, for the way they are to their fans, for the way they've been generally in the game of football, for the fact that they're boring and that their entire act long ago died. I mean a horrible, fetid, stench-ridden death. Laying there, rotting on the desert floor like so much carrion for the buzzards. Smelling it up, baby. Nobody fears the Raiders anymore. Nobody even fears that stadium anymore. There's ball clubs going in there and kicking their rear ends up one side and down the next in that ballpark, that Alameda County toilet. The assassin's alive? He should only die. For what he did to Darryl Stingley, the fact he should only die. That's my opinion, of course. I guess, death comes for us all. But really, seriously, go Raiders. All right, 1-800-449-8686. That's just a little tiny little bit of sports commentary. No big thing. I'm sure Warren will do very, very well. And his family will settle in very nicely there in the Bay Area. And you just better hope he doesn't make any cracks about the gay population up there, which he's bound to do. I guarantee a Sapp will open his big trap, maybe 4 weeks in and talk about all the, quote, fags, end quote, that go to the Raider games. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Here is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Listen, hard segue after the sports thing, but I'm been on hold for a while, so I wanted to go back to the Passion of Christ a bit. And thank you. I have a newfound respect for you after listening to you in the show today, because listening to you a couple months back and you were going crazy about with bad publicity about it coming out and how they were making it up to be too much, and it's just Mel Gibson trying to make more money, the Pope's getting involved, which was a bunch of BS and all that stuff.
That's me.
And you know what? You gave it a chance. And I don't know many people that are on the air or that are in broadcasting at all that will give it a chance after they've already said one thing and have the guts to come back on the air and say, you know what? It was good.
Well, thank you very much for your call. And we'll move along now to... Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so the thing about Bush lying to us, you don't want to talk about.
Oh, well, if you want...
Thanks for calling. I like these guys. All of a sudden, he changed his whole trip. That's okay. That's fine. He wanted to say, so Bush didn't lie to us? No, Bush didn't lie to us any more than John Kerry lied to you. John Kerry wanted to go in and take out the weapons of mass destruction, too. Don't you people read? Doesn't anybody read anymore? Bush lied? No, I don't believe Bush lied. Bush was misinformed. Let me tell you something. I have all the respect in the world for people who say we need to reevaluate our intelligence committee. Obviously, we do. Obviously, there was some lousy information, and the guys that come out looking really bad are the CIA. Bush purposefully lied to us? No, he was going on information that was supplied to him, supplied to other countries that were in the coalition, and obviously it was overstated on some level. John Kerry wanted us to go into Iraq. Nancy Pelosi wanted us to go into Iraq. Give me a freaking break. I'm a Democrat. I take full responsibility for the dumbbells in my party that said that there was this, that, or something else going on in Iraq. But you know what? As far as I'm concerned, I don't give a crap whether there were any weapons of mass destruction or not. I don't care whether or not there was a connection with Al-Qaeda or not. I know exactly the day we went into Iraq and today, my opinion hasn't changed at all. I know exactly why we went in there. Look, you want to take out terror? Take out a major terror-sponsoring regime. Now, that's a great start. And as far as I'm concerned, it's been a success against all odds. And the men and women that are over there tonight having to do that job against the ever-demoralizing rhetoric coming from the United States, God bless you guys. It's not going to be for naught. Believe me, it's going to be worth it in the end. The end game, the American people are going to wake up, come to their freaking senses, and understand this is global. This is unending. This is a 100-year war, man. This isn't something that's going to be like next week it's over. It's been going on since the 1940s. We got involved as recently as, well, the first American that got killed from a terrorist attack. I don't know when that was. It might have been back in the 80s. Back in the 70s, of course, they took out the entire Israeli team in the eyes of the world. Why wouldn't that outrage people? Black September, they murdered Israeli athletes. Did they deserve that? Why wouldn't people recognize at that point it was a war against all of us? That they would go into the Olympic Village and murder in cold blood Israeli athletes, and people think this is some kind of a neighborhood fight that we got nothing to do with? They come in and they crap all over one of the most cherished events the world knows, the Summer Olympics. But even then, everybody wants to pretend like it's not happening. And on the world went. We had the hijackings in the 70s. We had that. I had to dump myself. I said the P word. Oh, my God. You think then we'd get angry? American sailor beaten to death by these scumbags. Nah, that don't do it. What next? Then we have our students, our children, blown out of the sky over Lockerbie. You think that'd get us upset? No, not yet. Then comes 9/11, and we finally look like we're getting coalesced. And here we are 2 years later, and we're wringing our hands like grandmothers. This generation of Americans, unfreaking real. Hey, I got news for you. You're going to have to give up the Pilates class. You're going to have to give up the spinning. You're going to have to give up the private school. You're going to have to start getting involved with your country a little bit, okay? Get your nose out of your spandex and put your nose into what's happening in the world around you a little bit. Or maybe you don't give a crap. Maybe you just think that America's kind of like God, you know, always was and always will be. You know, it just always was here. I remember like 2 days after 9/11, some girl calls my show and she goes, it suddenly dawned on her that something really bad had happened because people were still talking about it 2 whole days later. And she said, are we all right? She was asking about the country. She said, are we all right? And I realized she was really afraid. And I said, sure, we're okay. We're dealing with it. We'll deal with it. We're Americans. People talk about the war on terror. They don't even know what the hell it is they're talking about. Has John Kerry said how he's going to win that? Anybody asked him how he's going to win the war on terror? Or does he think it's all in our imagination? All right. I'll tell you how I'm going to win the war on terror. I want to sign Warren Sapp. What a Sapp. Huh? 1-800-449-8686, email address phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Time now for the Phil Hendry Show mailbag. You email to phs@philhendryshow.com. You could hear your email read on the air. Here's one from Kevin Macy. Hi, Phil. I was listening to Bruce Williams' show, and a woman called into him asking if there was such a thing as volunteer police. She went on to describe hearing a volunteer policeman calling into another radio show detailing his auxiliary police unit's efforts to keep people from discussing the Michael Jackson trial loudly in public to avoid contaminating the jury pool. Looks like Jay Santos, or Phil, took in another one. Bruce fumbled around a bit without saying much. Glad I captured this priceless moment on tape. Well, send it to us. Kevin, please send it to us in a self-addressed stamped envelope. And we won't send it back. No, of course we will. Phil, love your show, Phil. Your characters, your passion, and your political knowledge make the show fresh, a first-rate sonic alternative. You're wrong, however, to say that Muslim radicals want to waste us and that these Muslim radicals would waste us even if we ended the war against terror. You seem to assume that these are evil people possessed with an unfounded, insatiable, demented hatred toward infidels. Yeah, that's kind of what I believe. If terrorists really wanted to waste Americans, they would have slammed planes into nuclear power plants. They had several chances. They instead chose symbolic sites. The hard, unspoken truth is that most Muslim hatred and terrorist activities were manifest after Westerners occupied regions of the Middle East, be it Lebanon in the early 60s or Iraq a decade later. Or early 80s, I should say. Did Muslims conduct terrorist activities in America prior to occupying Iraq, Kuwait, or Saudi Arabia? Why is it that American troops are never dispatched to Palestine when Israeli soldiers occupy Palestinian territory? Why haven't we invaded North Korea, Pakistan? They have the weapons we're looking for. Michael! Hey, Phil, since the FCC said that it was okay for Bono to say F, then couldn't a broadcaster take that soundbite and play it whenever they wanted to later, Aaron? Nah, that they've said now that it ain't cool, Aaron. They just came back on that one because they want to look tough. So NBC don't get to say the F word, although they get to keep their money. Hi, Phil. This morning you were a guest on Crystal Live Mojo Radio, and I was ashamed. I mean ashamed how Andrew Crystal put down George Bush and your support for George. Andrew Crystal does not speak for me or other Canadians. Why, that faggot is... I'm kidding. He didn't say that, Andrew. I'm just joking. The majority of Canadians support the George Bush and USA... Support the George Bush in USA. We would be dead without the states. The only reason we have less crime in Canada, we have better social programs. The money is there because we don't have to spend billions defending our country. Boy, that's the truth. The United States protects us and Canadians don't put a cent into the American army. Phil made some brilliant points. You could easily use your position to bring common sense to the masses. H. Cutler, Prime Minister, Canada. Hey, thank you. Phil, I may be one of the biggest Van Halen fans around and love the Eddie bit. Please make him a regular character. If he wants to get into radio, then give Bud an assistant intern. Then give Bud an assistant intern. Jim. Oh. Do you understand that, Eddie?
I think they just want me to be on the show.
We gotta explain. Why do you talk funny?
Because I lost half my tongue to cancer.
You had cancer of the tongue, didn't you?
That's right. And it's a drag. I mean, I was holding my tongue about it.
Well, I'm not trying to make fun of you, man, by having you on the show. I just think you're very knowledgeable about rock and roll and everything. But you did lose. You had that growth on your tongue, and they finally just lopped off the whole tongue, huh?
Yeah, they lopped off the whole tongue. I said to Valerie, well, okay, here it is. And she went, wait this for you. And she split.
She spit?
She split.
She split. All right. Eddie Van Halen, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Eddie. I wanted to bring you on with more of the Courtney Love overview, but she's getting boring, isn't she?
Oh, well, you know. I think Courtney Love... I don't know what to say. She's a disgrace.
Yeah. All right. Eddie Van Halen, folks. All right. Phil, you ask on your show what a journalist is. I think it's anyone not associated with Fox News. They're an advocacy group masquerading as a news organization. Steve. I am writing to say that tonight was the first time and the last time I will ever listen to the show. I was one of the callers who talked to Art Griego. What a pompous ass the man is. I'm still irritated with what he was saying, but now I am even more irritated at myself for spending the time and energy I did talking to him. I taped the conversation, and as I said, that was the first, last, and only time I will ever... I will ever listen to the show. Just so you know, Art Griega was on to talk about teen suicide. He said kids try to kill themselves because they're ashamed that they're so stupid. His daughter tried killing herself, for instance, by hanging herself, and the beam broke from the garage. Then she tried to beat herself to death with a wiffle ball bat, and, you know, that didn't work. And what else did she do, Janice?
She plunged herself in front of a razor scooter.
Yeah, she jumped in front of a razor exactly. scooter. And didn't she try to cut her wrist with a ruler?
Yes, she did.
There you
yes,
go. Thank you very much, Janice. So the lady, she taped the conversation, but it's the only time you can listen to my show, but she listened to that tape ad nauseum, I'm sure. Well, there it is. That's our mailbag on the Phil Henry Show. Thanks for writing us. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. All right, and don't forget that our souvenir shop, we're going to be featuring a lot of different items as we go on. I just want to say, we got an exciting thing coming out in our souvenir shop for Father's Day. This, I don't want to say what it is, but if it is what I think it is, it's going to be out of sight, something for Dad. We also, of course, have our Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police Compass Belt Watch for April Fool's Day. So go to the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop. We have more great items in our souvenir shop than any other site you're going to visit. It's at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
This story is very interesting to me. It's about a guy that told another guy to shut up in a movie theater. And it shouldn't be, but we still continually have to ask these imbeciles to shut up. Just shut up. I don't even think it should be polite anymore, personally. I think we've all been going to movies long enough. Movies have been with us since the late 19th century. We've been reminded to keep quiet in theaters, going on at least that much time. And for anybody to have to be reminded to shut their big fat hole when they're sitting in a movie theater should be a mortal sin. I think it's akin to crucifying Jesus all over again. So for those of you who talk in the movies, you're driving another nail into Jesus' wrists. Now how do you feel? I guess you're the kind of people that don't care, right? What is it with you people? Shut up. That's all. The movie started. I'm going to watch it with talking. I mean, I could go home and listen to my kids argue while I'm watching a movie. You ought to see me watching a movie at home. My kids are like, quit it. Don't fart. I farted. Hey, Mom, Philip, Nicholas farted. What would you guys clam up, please? Don't touch me. Hey, will you guys shut up, please? Okay, but Nick touched me. Hey, don't touch him, okay? All right. Ow! Now what happened? He touched me again. I said don't touch him. I'm watching a movie here. I'm watching a nice movie with my children, okay? Emmanuel 3. Now, anyway, a moviegoer was severely beaten after he shushed another man in the row behind him during a showing of a movie called The Triplets of Belleville at a downtown Ann Arbor, Michigan theater. Now, the reason why I find this interesting is I can't imagine what a meathead, this meathead by the name of Paul Elrod of Milan, Michigan, and it says here that he was arrested at his home that night and charged with assault. The victim told police he and his wife were watching the movie at the State Theater. Find out what's showing at the State, Janice. It was at the State Theater. Is that the only movie? It's a cartoon. There's got to be another movie with it. In any event, they were distracted by this guy talking behind him. He said he turned and motioned for the man to quiet down, and then the man began coughing in his ear and kicking his chair. Isn't that nice? Because some people have got such an enormous ego, they can't take the humiliation of having someone just say, excuse me, would you not talk in the bloody theater? A movie called Tripping the Void. The Triplets of Belleville and Tripping the Void? That's the double feature at the State in Ann Arbor, Michigan? What in the hell? Is this some kind of an acid head art house? And what's some meathead like this doing in an art house? Was he going out with some real hot-looking art student? Paul Elrod, meathead of Milan? Hey, Paul, shut your pie hole, man. Police said the assailant then left the theater. He was followed by a theater manager who got his vehicle license plate number. The manager said the man threatened him as he walked behind him. What a drunk. Elrod was arrested. He said that the guy threatened him. Yeah, sure, pal. So the double feature is, well, I thought I would find out something about this man, this Paul Elrod, the kind of guy that talks in a movie theater, then kicks the seat and starts coughing in a guy's ear when he's asked to keep his pie hole shut. But apparently there's some kind of weird scene going on in Ann Arbor. Well, it's a college town. But these guys, this guy, one was 51, the other's 38. And the movies were The Triplets of Belleville and Tripping the Void. Sounds like some kind of commie thing to me. Sounds like a real acid festival to me. I bet you it was one of them art house acid trip things. Do you want to go see Bitter Moon? Polanski, I think, really made a statement about marriage. Then we can go... excuse me. Yeah? There's food in your beard. I just wanted to... Yeah, there's like a large chunk of Twinkie just sitting... Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted you to know. Okay, so where are we going? Let's get some coffee done at the Israeli Deli. Then we can quaff an ale at the college draft house. So anyway, this guy was told, you know, I tell people to be quiet all the time. Not all the time, but I do not have a problem with turning around and saying, excuse me, would you please not talk because the movie started? And I don't know why that's bad to do, because the movie started. And when I say the movie started, this is what I mean. The credits are over, the movie has started. I can even understand some guy running his yap during the credits. And nowadays, movie credits do not last that long. Like back in the day... You remember when back in the day, it would be like, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents African Queen. Art director, film cutter, everything, you know, and at the end, there was not just, would say, the end. In the beginning of the movie, they had all the credits. There must have been some method to the madness, right? Let people come in with their popcorn? And at the end, you'd want to see who the actors were. No, you don't get to see that. The end. So even that, what I mean when a movie starts, the credits are done, the movie starts. Even when, if people are running their big fat mouths during all the film previews, I get that, I understand that. Because everybody watches that, they talk about it, hey, do you think I want to go see that? It looks pretty good, that don't look too good, what have you. Remember the kids who had the laser pointers? You know that none of them survived? None of them. There were, in America, at one time, there was about, the police tracked it, there were about 31,000 kids with laser pointers. All of them met violent deaths. And it's kind of sad. So if you're a kid today, I don't know, I don't want to scare you or anything, but if you have a laser pointer, please leave it at home. Because every kid that ever used a laser pointer in a movie theater was found hanging from a lamppost. And that's bad. I don't agree with that at all. I think it could have been dealt with more, you know, in a better way. Yeah, kids with laser pointers. My kids had laser pointers for about, about 3 hours. 3 whole hours before I had to take them away. Because their uncle was over, it was Christmas, and we gave them laser pointers. And I remember asking the eldest, now, why do you need that? What are you talking about? Well, how come you need that laser pointer, man? Well, if there's something really interesting, like say there's a train over there, you can point to it. See right there, there's a train. Oh, okay, man. It's the lamest reason I ever heard. You can point it out and stuff. Well, yeah, sure. He was shining it in people's eyes. His uncle, an ex-Marine captain, was ready to rip his head off and do whatever down his neck. So I finally took those laser pointers away. But kids that used them in movie theaters met horrible ends. I mean, we're talking about run over with cars, thrown into the wash, thrown into rapidly running rivers, drowned. You don't want to know. And that's why you don't see kids with laser pointers anymore. So anyway, as I was saying, I wanted to see what movie... But you know what? The movie starts, then just be quiet, and nobody has to... It doesn't have to be violent. And if you don't want to be quiet, if you want to talk, get out of the movie. Because it's only going to end up one way and one way only. You're either going to shut up or you're going to leave. Because, look, it doesn't have to come to fisticuffs. If you turn around and look at a guy, hey, would you shut up, please? No, I won't. Okay. You go get the manager, your ass is thrown out, man. You're done. Is it worth it? I'm sitting in front of these three women, and I didn't care. They were running their big fat mouths, but I had my two kids with me, my two youngest. And these two women are letting out with the S-bomb here and there. Now, are you like me? I don't care what profanity is used around me, but if my kids are with me, I say something. Does that make me a bad guy? And most of the time, people react very well. I'll say, you know, if you wouldn't mind, I got my children with me. Could you watch your language? Most of the time, they'll say, yeah, you know what, I understand. And you say, you know, if you say it real nice. But these two women with the S this, F that. And so I turned around and I said, if you two B-I-T-C... No, I didn't. I just smiled at them and went, nice hairdo, nice wig. 1-800-449-8686. The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 double CD, The Death of Talk Radio, is available now online. All you got to do is www.philhenryshow.com. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. It's a beautiful thing. Can we play Vernon this hour? Can we play Vernon this hour? Because I missed him last hour. Vernon Dozier, the flashback. No, we can't. We'll play him tomorrow night. Or we'll be right back to wrap this marvelous show up in a moment on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
So what's the ballpark that's going on? Oh, Veterans Stadium. There's a picture of Veterans Stadium getting blowed up. And I said to Janice, you know, and I guess I'm starting to sound like an old man, but I remember when that bloody stadium was built. I was just out of high school. And it was state-of-the-art. And that year, like 1970... all of these brand spanking new, ultra-modern ballparks were being built. They had the exploding scoreboards. Woo! You know. And they were all round and perfectly symmetrical. No more of the beautiful, the sort of crazy dimensions of the old baseball parks. You know, like the Polo Grounds, 470 yards straight away, or 470 feet straight away, or 290 yards short porch, or 290 foot short porch, all that stuff. These were all perfectly symmetrical ballparks, 360 down the line, 420 straight away, 380 out to the in the alleys. And the same year that Veterans Stadium was built, Riverfront was built. And if I'm not mistaken, Three Rivers was built. All those ballparks like the same. Riverfront, Three Rivers, the Vet. Foxborough wasn't the same. Foxborough was a football stadium, but it was built about that time. And then, of course, everybody said, or the fans began, I don't think the fans had anything to do with it. I think somebody with a little bit of vision, these architects, said, why don't we start making some ballparks the way they used to look? Like the old Eagles, nobody, I remember when the Eagles played at a place called Franklin Field. And there was a, like, it looked like a church at one end of the stadium. And at the other end, there was something, it was a ballpark with a lot of personality, you know? And when I was a kid, I used to watch the old American Football League games. War Memorial Stadium in Buffalo? Oh, my God. Have you ever seen the movie The Natural? That's War Memorial. A real dive, man. But the Bills played there, won a couple of championships there. I mean, the 49ers, when I was in high school, were still playing at a place called Kezar Stadium. How many seats has that got? Like 40,000? Maybe less? The Chargers used to play in a ballpark down in San Diego, Cal, Balboa Stadium in Balboa Park. Couldn't have been more than 30,000 seats. When ABC used to do the old AFL games down there, because they didn't have blimps in those days, and the stands weren't that high, they stuck a crane in the end zone with a guy on a camera. A guy had to be like 300 feet in the air, wetting his pants all the way, just going,
"I have that end zone shot, Eddie."
"Yeah, it's great." Poor guy. Then the old New York Giants baseball team and New York Titans in the AFL played at the Polo Grounds, another real old creaky dump. But that's where Willie Mays made the over-the-head catch. Anybody remember that catch? Willie Mays, in the 1954 World Series, took a sure inside-the-park home run off of a guy by the name of Vic Wirtz. He's running straight out to center field. He didn't catch it like this. He turned around and caught it over the head. So it landed in his mitt. It's one of the most incredible catches ever made, and he turned around and he made the play back into the infield. People always remember that catch, but nobody remembers that Vic Wertz went 4-for-5 that day. The only out was Willie Mays having to catch it over his head. Whoever remembers Vic Wertz? I don't. You want to know why?
Because he's a Jew.
No, I just don't remember him. Who's Vic Wertz, Phil?
I don't know, but he sounds like a Jew.
And that's just kind of a little thing I'm throwing out to my Islam listeners. You know, just a little, kind of a nice little gift. And then there was another toilet called the L.A. Memorial Coliseum. I'm kidding. But actually, it wasn't that great. Probably the L.A. Coliseum was this, and remains this. In the late afternoon sun, it's a bowl. It's just a basic bowl. And there is no mitigating topography. There's no hills around it. There's no real greenery or trees. It's in an urban setting, so it's this bowl. And by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you feel like you're in a wok. And you're a piece of just very limp onion being sautéed. It's hot, baby. Hot. Out of there, old dumpy. Then the Broncos played in a place called Bears Stadium. Why'd they call it that? Because the AAA team in Denver was called the Denver Bears. They later changed the name of that stadium to Mile High Stadium because they built, you know, turned it into a big football stadium. But it used to be a little toilet of a stadium called Bears Stadium. Then there was another ballpark called Tulane Stadium where the Saints played. That was a toilet. Then the Oilers, they played in a dump called Jeppesen Field. That was a toilet. Then the Dallas Cowboys played at the Cotton Bowl, toilet. Then the Atlanta Falcons played at Fulton County Stadium, dump. Dolphins played at the Orange Bowl, real toilet. Nah, the Orange Bowl was great, man, down there in Little Havana. That was fantastic. I don't like it down there because they didn't dig the Cubans. I got nothing against the Cubans of Miami. I love them. But the white people got tired of it. I'm joking. Then there was the Washington Redskins played in a toilet. I don't remember the name of that place. The New York Giants used to play at Yankee Stadium. In fact, the greatest football game they say ever played, the overtime game in 58 between the Colts and Giants, was at Yankee Stadium. That's when Johnny U handed it off to Alan Ameche, who went in for the touchdown in OT. That was at Yankee Stadium. Then the Chicago Bears used to play at Wrigley Field. Are you ready for that? You remember the Bears playing at Wrigley? But the Patriots, when they were the Boston Patriots, played a couple of home games at Fenway Park. And they also played at Boston U. And then they called them the New England Patriots, and they moved on down to Foxborough. Then you have the, trying to think of all the teams. Oh, the Jets played at Shea. But the Jets played at the Jets started at Shea Stadium. And I can still remember seeing Joe Namath drop going up to call the signals, and you could hear the Jets landing at LaGuardia. Right over Shea Stadium. Just, well, the Jets have a second down. And Namath is looking real good. Is that why they called him the Jets? Because they were the freaking right next to the airport? I liked it when the Jets played at Shea because they were a New York team. Now everybody's down in Jersey, and I don't get that. It sucks. Build a freaking stadium up in the city somewhere, even if you got to knock down a few tenements. Let's see, who else? The Kansas City Chiefs used to play at a dump called Metropolitan Stadium in Kansas City. They didn't even have a grandstand on the other side. It's where the Kansas City Athletics used to play baseball. So if you watch the Chiefs on TV, you weren't looking at a grandstand full of people. You were looking at a wall that just said Metropolitan Stadium on it. And then, of course, the Browns played at the old Municipal Stadium in Cleveland, which was just demolished not too long ago, and that was a real toilet. I mean, I don't mean to knock these old parks. I say toilet with great affection. And then the Minnesota Vikings played at Metropolitan Stadium in Bloomington. Oh, God. The frozen tundra of Bloomington. The Tigers used to play, the Lions played at Tiger Stadium for a while and at Briggs Stadium. And who am I missing? The Packers, they played at City Stadium before there was a Lambeau Field. Who else? Oh, and the Oakland Raiders used to play at a place called Frankfurt Park. I forget. I think I covered most of them. So there you go. Now you got the whole thing. And really, loving sports is loving the ballparks that those sports are played in. So remember, going out to a ball game this week, everybody. Well, I'm Vin Scully. Coming up will be a post-game wrap-up. The Dodgers 1 and the San Francisco Giants 20.
Phil
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.